This is awesome. God, I thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. I thank you, and we thank you for the pristine air, the clarity that you bring with your sunlight. So, God, we just pray that that same light, the light of your Son, Jesus, would shine here. Lord, that we would be just quietly and joyfully inspired by the power of your Spirit upon your word. Lord, that we would have revelations that are just fundamental and life-changing. Lord, this is all about your Spirit and his mighty work in glorifying you in your people. And Lord, we are your people. And we humbly wait upon you this morning. And we thank you for the privilege of learning of you. Lord, just be mighty among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hey!
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
We're going to cover you with paper.
Sure. Okay.
All right, there's an introduction to the whole book of Acts that was written by, thank you, Ron, by a commentator that I'm using a lot. His name is F.F. Bruce. And then this is last week.
Oh, thank you.
And then this is this week. So. Oh, and then here's the schedule.
Gee.
Yeah, we've been...
A lot of stuff here. There we go.
We've been throwing around a lot of paper. Okay. All right, so let's go back to the last session. And we're going to start in considering verse 8. And up to this point, we had spoken about, actually, if you look on section 2 at the top of the page, I have a little kind of recap of where we were last week. Last time we focused upon how the things Jesus, oh boy.
Sorry, we're so late.
That's all right. You're right on time.
We had to take a phone call, and we were sitting on the street to get reception.
Actually, it was a doctor we were speaking to.
So. Oh.
Well, that absolves you then.
Yeah.
Right. At least in your in
we tried
Jeff's
to be here on time.
All right, we have a lot of paper for you guys. This is session 1. I only got one of them. So.
Thank you.
And then there's an introduction. She got them all.
All the new stuff.
Robin is rapidly becoming the secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
How are you scheduled?
Oh, it's scheduled, yeah.
Ministry to see all the gifts in the
city. Hey, Robin.
Yes,
I know, it's nice and thick.
Huh?
So nice and thick. Oh, the paper
you
get.
Yeah.
I bought a new box from Staples yesterday. It's like carrying a boulder.
Yeah.
The whole box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy.
I buy it by the box down there.
Yeah.
He is with his daughter down at Liberty. So say, you know what? Just leave him, and I'll we'll pass him out to him next. Someone else might come in, yeah. Okay, so last time we focused upon how the things Jesus did in his time on earth for us, from the time of his nativity to the ascension, how those, what he did, formed the platform for us to receive his instruction and thus faith and trust in him. You know, Jesus had to appear and live his life in the power of the Holy Spirit and undergo all that he went through with his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension in order for us to have something to believe in. So so that, what he did, is the platform for what we receive from him as he teaches us.
Can you just say that one more time? What he did?
What he did forms the platform for all of the instruction that comes forth through the Holy Spirit to us.
You said something about what we believe in. for all that he did, the substance of what we believe in.
I mean, he had to... it always goes back to this thing about there's really only one universe, and that's the spiritual. But God, in his love and wisdom and everything else, created, put atoms and molecules together to form a physical universe for us to manipulate and walk in. Okay, I mean, you can take that cup and divide it up into atoms and pi mesons, and it disappears. So there really is really only one universe. And when Jesus is appearing in between his resurrection and his ascension, he is essentially stepping out of the spiritual into the physical and then disappearing. You know, he's going through doors. He's, you know, how else can we understand these appearances? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was wild. So, I mean, it's almost proof of the concept that there's these parallel universes that God is so real right now, he's filling us with his breath, with his presence. Everything is filled with his presence. And we're just, sitting here with our coffee and studying the Bible. You know, it's crazy. Yeah. But it's really, really magnificent when you consider the depth of it. So, Jesus had to materialize in the physical for us to... You know, in a sense, there was seeing is believing back before the Holy Spirit came into the picture and the Trinity accomplished the salvation of man. There was a ton of faith in the Old Testament, but, Jesus came in the physical. Yeah. And just leave it at that. And what he did in the physical is the platform for us believing in him. And we're going to see this big time later on in the study. So that was the first major point. The second point is that we understood that the kingdom of God is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit as we look upon Jesus' life and teachings. His life and teaching is a doorway into seeing the literal kingdom of God by faith. So we are never blind. You may fall into periods of darkness, but... because you know Christ and because the Holy Spirit is within you, you have a doorway into seeing the kingdom of God, which is really the kingdom. So we don't freak out over the news.
Right.
We don't freak out over anything because the kingdom of God is advancing steadily through history. Nothing can stop him. He is going to accomplish everything in his time. So we don't panic. All right? And we always have the opportunity in the life and teachings of Christ to see into that kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the more mature we are in Christ, we live in that kingdom. You know, we really have just incredible opportunities to be useful in that kingdom.
You know, it just blew me away one day. Someone said there was 40 years between 1976 and this year. Well, I just sat there and I decided to go back to 1776 when our nation was founded. From 1776 is still 40 years. And this year is the 640 years. Something's going to happen. It's amazing. It's 40 years, exactly, from 1776.
Well, we know not the day or the hour. But
no.
Well, the year's gradually coming to an end, so.
So hang on. Adding 1776, 40, 76, and it kept going. And this is the 46.
All right, let's rein it in here, Rose. Let's take a look at Acts now. And so just the platform for looking at verse 8 now. So when they had come together, they asked Jesus' disciples, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." Ha ha.
There we go.
No,
it really isn't. We have to humble ourselves under that verse.
But he gives you hint. He is.
You get hints.
There's hints.
Yeah, there's definitely hints.
Yeah, you don't know exact hour.
No.
Yeah.
So, and again, their focus, as is the focus for us, was on the worldly. You know, when is the king? When are we going to overthrow Rome here? When is the Messiah going to come and we're going to blow away Rome and establish, what's right? And that was their focus. And Jesus just says, you know what? This is something different. And, he completely changes the conversation.
with verse 8. So someone read for us 8 through 11. Okay.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on him, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
Thank you. So what is remarkable about verse 8? I mean, there is a lot going on here. What strikes you?
You shall receive power. And the Amplified says power, ability, efficiency, and might.
Wow.
And I think all of us as Christians don't realize the authority and the power we have.
Boy, you got that right.
Yeah, I think that's something that we don't major on.
I think it's actually kind of comical what we see here, because apparently they were just awestruck, and, you know, and that's why he said, why are you gazing up there?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, we actually spoke about that last week.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, but the, you know, it's like these two, the two men are there, and they're saying, you know, there is work to do. You know, just don't sit there like, you know, a couple of zombies.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, there's ministry to do now. The power has come. You've got it. It's time to go. Yeah. So.
You know what amazes me? I read this, and this is exactly what the shoebox is doing. I mean, since 2013, 113 million shoeboxes to children and their family.
Yeah.
They are being reached for the
Amen.
Lord.
That's it. Yeah, that's the manifestation of the power.
Right. The Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
right.
Excellent.
Lives are being changed.
Yeah.
It just,
and the next generation.
The next generation overseas.
Anybody else on this verse? There's kind of a outline here for us.
Witness.
Yeah, where?
Everywhere. Well, I live in Washington, and it used to be called Judea. Well, I'm looking at that.
Wow.
There is Judea Cemetery Road, I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Actually, I go to them all the time.
Judea, wow.
And, you know, anybody's, go with that concept. So where are we
going? We start with our families.
We start in Jerusalem.
And then out to others.
Then we go to Judea.
Yeah. But first you have to know that you have that power in you.
Yeah. Right.
That it's not you.
Good.
You have to lean on the power of God.
Right.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It's just a big waste.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
Who is good enough to be a Christian?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody.
You know, and when someone says, you know, I don't want to be a Christian because I could never live up to it. Well, guess what?
You're
the first thing you
to
say to them is, I never lived up to it.
Right. No.
You know, also Chambers this morning, he says, Sermon on the Mount, we can't, it's not a statue, we can't abide by it, but it's Jesus in you that could fulfill the sermon.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because we try, we can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not a statement.
Yeah.
It's a disposition.
Yeah.
He's in you.
You know, blew me away this week because I just felt led. I've got to go to the town here and ask people. I did that last year. Well, Barbara Henry, our select woman, she came in looking frazzled. And I said, Barbara, the Holy Spirit said, pray for her. I said, Barbara, I got to pray for you. And I prayed over her, you know, and it was amazing. She said, Rosie, you don't know what, you can't understand what this has done for me.
Yeah.
And she, the Lord opened the door, and I said, can I have shoebox out here, you know, for advertising? And she said, yes. And she said, I said, they could leave it here, and I'll pick it up Sunday. And she said, no, bring it in my office. She said, everybody who do shoeboxes in our town, have them bring it into my office so no one takes it. That just blew me away. Mm-hmm. And yesterday the Lord led me to have a presentation right in front of the market. I mean, I said, Wayne, can I do it? Because Harry said, he's pretty tough. And he said, yeah, you can do it. But, it's like I gave him the shoebox, and he said, I don't know if I'll give. But he said, you can do it. So yesterday I did my poster the night before and have it upstairs, and I did it, and people came. Some took shoebox. Some were curious. They never heard of the shoebox.
They're going to open the shoebox and get
the
message.
And then the Chinese church, the gal said, no, you can't do it till November. We don't have time. You know, the children. And so last night I called one of the elders, you know, asked your pastor, well, we don't have a pastor. But, why don't you come in today to do it? I said, oh, my gosh. So last night I prepared it. And so I'm going to come pray for me. I'm going to go to the Chinese church and present the shoebox. Okay. So I ordered extra 200 in faith. So I've got 300 shoeboxes. It took me 5 years to do 100. Now I've got 300 in 1 year.
Well, that's the power of the Holy Spirit.
It is.
So praise God for all that you're doing.
Praise God.
All right. So anyway, getting back to verse 8 then, you know, there really is a threefold geographical indication that is a kind of index to the contents of Acts, and the spread of the gospel in Acts actually follows Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and the ends of the earth. I mean, this is really how the book is divided up. So it's a very interesting concept. And the sole purpose of the power imparted to the disciples was what?
Be my witnesses.
Be my witnesses. All right? That is so important. Other verses say, you shall be witnesses to me. I love that. So what is a witness doing? What's the fundamental thing that the witness...
Let God be known.
Gives testimony.
Gives testimony. He points to, doesn't he? I mean, this is, you know, the humility thing.
He attests to what he's seen.
Yeah.
He witnessed all these things.
Yeah.
So.
But the interesting thing is, he says, be my witness. It's not for us to make the change in the people. We just present the gospel.
Good.
Don't
good
fight.
Yeah.
And just let God
yeah.
do the rest.
Amen.
And I think that's real important.
That is really important. We try to micromanage the Holy Spirit in intervening in people's lives, do we not? Oh, my gosh.
What a mistake.
Yeah.
But we all
yeah.
make it.
Yeah. Well, of course we do.
Yeah.
But beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
this is it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just do and let the Holy Spirit speak. You know? I mean, what's Francis of Assisi said? What? Just
preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words.
Yeah. use force.
Use
if necessary,
words.
Use words.
use words.
That's what it said.
No. All right. So. All right, we're going to have to...
If necessary, use words.
We're going to have to move on here, but I did want you to look at Isaiah 43:10, because there is a prophecy made. Somebody, when they get there, read that.
Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?
Okay. Is that 43:10?
43:10.
You are my witnesses.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me.
Okay, so this is amazing. Here, Isaiah, 700 years, speaks these words, and these disciples are literally, they fulfill this prophecy. And I put the F.F. Bruce right under there, says, thus these disciples form the remnant of the old Israel and the nucleus of the new Israel. So these guys... they're the linchpin of spiritual history. Everything is turning on them. The Old Testament is moving aside, and the New Testament is opening up just in this very moment. It's crazy. This is really exciting stuff. So that's just really important. The rest of these questions, verse 9, what's the significance of the cloud? The cloud is a sign of
footsteps of God, isn't it?
It's God. It's His presence. And these two verses from the Old Testament are, you know, the priests go in, Moses goes in, and they got to get out of there because the glory of God is just coming out of the cloud at them. So the fact that Jesus was taken up in a cloud is very interesting in that regard.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. So.
I
yeah.
I thought when it says cloud of witnesses, I thought it was the witnesses looking down.
No. Hebrews 12. Yeah.
Witnesses.
Yeah, Hebrews 12.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a great cloud of witnesses.
Cloud of witnesses.
Yes, good. Whoa, I didn't think of that one.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. And then there's a mention about how Jesus will come again the same way that he was taken up. And there's a lot of references to how Jesus will come again. He'll come in the cloud in this verse and another verse in flaming fire. He'll come in his heavenly glory. He'll come with his saints. He'll come as a thief in the night. He will come with a cry of command and the archangel's call. And he'll come in the company of angels and he'll come suddenly. So
and this everyone will know.
Everybody will know from. So this is something to look forward to. Say it. All right, let's go to session 2. All right, now will someone read for us verses? Well, let's just go 12 through 14 to start.
Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Okay, so, first of all, let's look at verse 12. What do you think was the main topic of conversation among the disciples as they journeyed from the Mount of Olives back to Jerusalem? Does anybody know how long a Sabbath day's journey is?
Is that 8 hours?
Is it that long?
How many hours? Seven?
No.
It says 3/4 of a mile in my notes.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay.
1,100 meters.
What is it?
Three quarters
of a mile from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem.
That's right.
That's how far you were allowed to walk.
Okay.
Because it was Sabbath.
Remember, the legalism had even gotten to the point where you're not allowed to walk. That's good.
You take a kid measure and
what's only 3/4 of a mile? 3/4 of a mile.
Better do it on a different day.
Wow.
So, what do you think they talked about?
Jesus.
It's like the kids.
Sunday school. Oh. Jesus.
Yeah, that's a
the answer is Jesus. And in doubt, the answer is Jesus.
No, but it's something that the men said.
I kind of, the way I looked at this, I know they probably all talked about it in awe what happened, but as we read further on, I think it says, you know, brothers, we need to get down to business now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were all together, and then Peter saying, here's our first thing.
Yeah.
We need to fill this position.
Okay, so there was an agenda that was happening in their hearts. But what about, there's something else, though.
I think my first question, when's he coming back?
When's he, yeah.
You know.
And what's he talking about? Verse 8, but you receive power, what is it, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you?
It's all new.
It is. I mean, these guys, Jesus was with them physically, and then there's this kind of in and out of the spiritual, but now he's really gone. And they have a sense that they're not going to see him materializing again. So it was all about this promise. Mm-hmm. What is this thing? They didn't know. See, it's fun to just try to put yourself right into that moment. Forget all the last, 2,000 years. just be with them, having seen this on the Mount of Olives, and you're going back.
Don't you think, though, that we go through this every day? We have to focus on the promise that we don't really totally understand how it's going to work out in our day?
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
My friend's 95-year-old grandfather just died, and at the service, I'll make this really quick, they just said, the priest spoke, and he said, yeah, he always said, when people would ask him, how you doing, Dick, he would say, everything's under control for the next 10 minutes. And I thought, wow, that was really reaching out. You thought he had 10 minutes? You know? Okay. Right. That would have been like, presently, it's okay. You know?
Yeah. Living in the moments, which is there's a lot of wisdom to that. A lot of wisdom. All right, so yeah, who knows? I mean, I'm just asked that question really just to get us into the feel of what it was like. But the promise, what do we do next? What's going to happen? And then in verse 13, there's a listing of the disciples. And what do you think of the order there? Do you see any significance?
And James.
Yeah, and who are they as opposed to everybody else?
Close circle.
Yeah.
They were the closest.
The transfiguration.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who do you think the two men are?
Elijah and Moses.
Yeah. At
the transfiguration.
And at
The Ascension.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
The law and the prophets. Two men. And guess what? Back in Luke, this freaked me out. Back in Luke 9, what did they talk to Jesus about? And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. Oh. So we get this incredible thing with Moses, whose body was never found, and Elijah, who we know was translated right after he put his mantle on Elisha. So these two guys are running the gamut between the spiritual and the physical universe like Jesus does. I mean, isn't that crazy? And it's the same situation.
I have a question. Why does it say men of Galilee? Says the two men stood there and said, men, they addressed them as men of Galilee.
Yeah, because they were all from Galilee. Yeah, and we're going to get to something really significant about that in just a minute if God prolongs the time threefold. All right, but I just, that was amazing.
Yeah.
The two men, they're like a little axle. Mm. Everything's turning. It's so beautiful that God not only puts the Christ at the center, but even brings in some, you know, flesh and blood like us, you know, who are there at both of those amazing light-filled moments. So, all right, so those three are put it in the first, and then I don't think there's anything else too significant there. And this Judas, the son of James, obviously is not Judas Iscariot. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that you put Judas last anyway. I don't know.
Yeah. Could this be the same order they were called? I'm just curious.
Oh, that's interesting.
I never thought of that. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Now, verse 14 is big.
Yeah, that is good.
And all these were with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So, I was looking at this. I saw five things, but there's probably 25. But what do you think? What kind of, when you consider this verse, what is the significance of this verse? And there's a lot of instruction in this verse.
Full agreement.
What's that?
Full agreement.
Yeah. Where does that come from?
And devoted in the Holy Spirit.
Only the Holy Spirit. You know?
Plus it was very integrated. Men and women.
There, yes. Together. What was the cultural thing before that?
Women were.
They're secondary. Second rate.
On the other side of the room.
But Jesus was the first
one. Yes. Well, see, this is it.
Here we go.
Doesn't the Holy Spirit bring forth the fullness of Christ even right there from the very beginning? The women are right there with the men.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So, That's one. Number two, they were with one accord, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Where does that come from? Before this time, the disciples are saying, which of one of us is the greatest? Who's going to sit at the right hand of the... I mean, they were like, you know?
Yep.
And now, all of a sudden, it's different.
That's got to be gone.
There's a different wind.
When the Holy Spirit enters,
it's gone. All of that selfishness, all that egoism, all of that, I'm better than you, I got more going on. It's all gone. Humility, mm-hmm. humility, humility. Relationships form. Bonds form. Everything is strengthened. The gifts are anointed. Everything comes from the humility of Christ in these men. So that's big. All right, what else? There's some other things going on here. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing they did?
Prayer.
Ta-da! You know, prayer is the first thing. The very first thing. I mean, they could have, you know, done any kind of thing. They could have sat down, had a meal together or whatever, but they devote. And what about this word devote? Does anybody know where that word comes from? It's a beautiful word. It comes from a Latin verb, V-O-W-E-R-E, vowere, which means to vow. It means to dedicate or consecrate. So they literally, the spirit of prayer descended on them. And they consecrate, they set themselves apart to pray. With everything that could have gone on in that moment, they just said, brothers, and I think the whole company, I think there was more, we're gonna pray. This is the first thing that we're gonna do. The spirit of prayer descended on them because they understood in their hearts that their unity with Christ was going to come by that avenue. Isn't that, I mean...
It's so comforting.
It is. Jesus had just left them physically, and the first thing they do as his church is they pray. They set themselves apart to pray. Because the Holy Spirit had given them the sense that Jesus was going to be with them in his fullness in doing that.
It's like you're not going to get plugged into electricity till you push in the cord into the outlet.
Yeah.
That's what came to me.
Yeah, well, isn't that what prayer is?
Yeah.
You have to make a decision to pray. You can decide not to pray.
Yeah. And my Bible says they devoted themselves steadfast to prayer. And I thought to myself when you said, what does this mean? Devour. And when we devour something, we eat it. You know, we devour it.
I mean, it's
like
hungry.
Yeah, and so they like plunged right into it.
Like starving
consumed.
To death.
Yeah.
Totally
devour.
Consumed.
Yeah. Food.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really all about intimacy.
Yeah.
This Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never fail, I will never forsake you, I am with you always to the end of the age. He made all these promises, and the first thing they do is they pray. And all of that begins. So it's seamless. I just think that's... And one last thing was Jesus' family.
Yeah.
They were there.
Brothers.
The brothers were there. You know, if you go back to John 7... You know, they're sort of mocking him. You're just saying, you know what? Go up and be seen at the big feast. I mean, if you want people to follow you, you got to get your face out there so that people can, you know. And Jesus says, my time hasn't come. And he doesn't go. And they all go. I guess they went. And then he hangs back. But they didn't believe in him. He was the youngest brother. He wasn't even the oldest, you know. So... No, he was the oldest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
was saying.
Would have been the oldest.
So he was the oldest, but yeah, usually you take the lead with the oldest brother, but they didn't. So, all right, and this is the last mention of Mary in the entire Bible is here. It ends right here. And from those of you that have, you know, been Catholic in the past, I mean, it's interesting. That there is no mention of Mary, you know, after this time.
Can I add something else to that?
Yes.
Mary's last words, does anybody know what they were? The last time we hear Mary's words, listen to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. And those are her last words.
Oh, that's great.
Whoa.
When, you know, at the Canaan.
Yeah.
Listen to him.
Listen to him at the.
You know, she's standing outside at other times looking for him.
Yeah.
When they say your mother and brother are here, you know, brothers.
Gosh. I think people realize, too, that when Jesus first appeared, the first person he appeared to was a woman. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the, I don't remember where it is, but the apostles said to him, why would he appear to you? Like, why would he appear to you?
Well, see, doesn't
like,
that...
still under that same thing.
That speaks of that cultural... Oh, yeah. It was huge. Yeah. All right, good. Now, let's move to... So there's more other things, and you know, ponder the verse, maybe more comes out. Anybody else? Anything? That was five biggies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, verses 15 through 17. Now this, all right, this is, so they have prayed, some time has passed, and then there's this general reflection that Luke brings. He says, in those days, right at the beginnings. Oh, I forgot to say, the biggest thing of verse 14 is this is the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Duh.
It was the first church meeting.
It was. This is the very core. You know, these guys and the women with them, and they are the linchpin of spiritual history that God raises up. And this is the beginning of the church. Mm-hmm. So, and so all of those other things are very, they're secondary. You know, the prayer is in there, but this is the church. So, all right. So then, back in those days, then of the beginnings of the church, it says, in those days, Peter stood up among the brethren, and the company of persons was in all about 120. So, look at this. You know, there were 11 disciples, and then a few women, and now all of a sudden we got 120. So you can already see things are happening. And Peter gets up. Now, what's Peter doing here? He says, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered amongst us, and was allotted his share in this ministry. And he goes on, he says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and his office let another take. So, and we'll talk about the parenthesis there that Luke puts in 18 and 19, but what is this? What's Peter? What do you see in this? What is remarkable about him?
Well, the Holy Spirit is speaking through him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know this. He's a fisherman.
No. How did he know?
And the revelation that came that the scriptures had to be fulfilled.
Yeah. So he is speaking scripture.
Right.
And how did he learn this in 3 years in being impulsive and crazy and jumping in water and you know, doing... I mean... I love that.
I do too.
Right?
There were no Bibles.
There were, yeah. So this is the first thing is, well, what about he stood up among them? I mean, what's that all about?
Leadership. He just knew.
He did. Now, what in his life would give you a hint that this might happen? Two things.
He was the one that stepped out and walked on water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He confessed the Lord.
Three things. Yes, yeah.
He confessed the Lord.
Yeah. Yes. The great confession.
Yeah.
Who do you say that I am? And I threw that verse in. Big deal there. Matthew 16.
So he spoke it and he acted.
Spoken.
But with all of his impetuosity and impulsiveness, there were some certain things. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit takes an impetuous, crazy person and fills him, watch out.
Yeah.
Because leadership might be coming forth. Mm-hmm. So.
But then, you know, also, he was forgiven.
Okay, that's the second one.
He received the forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the Lord asked, told him to feed his sheep.
Yes.
And so he knew.
That was the other thing.
That was his life.
That's John. Yeah, John 21:15-19. Peter, feed my sheep.
Let's see the parallel with Peter and Paul. Yeah. With what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. It was what? Zeal. Mm-hmm. Whether it was in the right direction or wrong, they had the innate zeal in them to, if it's directed in the right. Yeah, think about people you know.
Didn't Jesus say too? He was given the keys, gave Peter the keys to the
keys of the kingdom.
That's right.
Yeah, that was the other part. In the that was at the end of the Great Confession,
right,
wasn't
Matthew,
it? Yeah. That's all tucked away in Matthew 16. You guys know this, so we got to move. But see, you can see that there were things about Peter. And then Psalm 41:9. That's the actual scriptures that Peter is quoting. Mm-hmm. So, Great Confession is 16:13-18. Yeah, I got those there for you. So, all right, now let's turn the picture here a little bit and take a look at Judas. So this is just information. I mean, I had never studied Judas in my life. I kind of didn't ever want to, but, you know, there is, Luke puts this in. He says, now, Judas, you know, Peter just said he was numbered among us and allotted his share in this ministry. And then we have this sprint, this is 18:19. Now this man bought a field with reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst in the middle, and all of his bowels gushed out.
Pretty gross.
So that's about as gross as it gets. I mean, I got to say, if you picture that.
Yeah.
So this is just... Okay, Judas. Now, this is very interesting. It's Greek for his name, Judah. All right, so Judas Iscariot. Iscariot means man of Kerioth, K-E-R-I-O-T-H. This was a town in Judea. All right, so he was a Jew from Judea. All of the, and this is somebody mentioned the men of Galilee, all of the other disciples were from Galilee. Only Judas was from Judea. Judeans looked down upon Galileans. Are you from Galilee too? Do you remember the quote that somebody says?
To Peter.
Yeah.
Are you also from
Galilee? You know, it was a smear. You know, there was an arrogance that separated Judas from all the other disciples. Uh-huh. Jesus called him. I mean, he was called. But, of course, called knowing that what was going to happen. So, issues of pride separated Judas from the other 11. He is always listed last in the roll call of the disciples. He was a dishonest, mercenary, coveter whom Christ knew would betray him. All right, now, think about Peter's denial of Christ and Judas's sin. I mean, they both fail. But what is the difference between those two when Peter denies the Jesus right to his face? In the courtyard, and what Judas did, what
repentance?
Yeah,
went outside, wept bitterly.
Yeah,
and sought forgiveness.
Yeah,
raced to the tomb.
Yeah,
hoping that
yes
might be true.
And this, oh my gosh,
it's
okay,
trust, isn't it?
Yeah,
he trusted that Jesus was who he said he was.
Yeah,
and he would do what he said he
and
was
yeah,
going to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can have all kinds of understanding.
Boy.
We can be repentant, but if we don't trust that God is going to deliver us from our
it's
sin,
not,
what good
yeah,
is it?
It's not based in faith. Yeah, and believing who Christ really was and what he did.
Yeah.
This it goes back to the very first question of this lesson. What he did is the basis, isn't it,
right,
of his instruction. And so that's where Peter was going. But listen to this. As opposed to Peter's denial of Christ that came in the context of weakness, hello, and sudden capitulation in the face of enormous stress, That's what happened to Peter. Judas's sin was deliberate, calculated, and premeditated. There was a brooding wickedness here.
See them again?
Judas's sin was deliberate, calculated, and premeditated. He had gone to the priest and said, I'm going to get this guy for you. I'm going to... And so there's a signal. I mean, everything is there. It's all predestined. Peter just found himself by the fire, and the little servant girl was saying, weren't you with him? You know? Yes.
It just strikes me, Peter's sin was self-preserving, and Judas's sin was self-serving.
Ooh.
30 coins of silver.
Wow. That's a...
tip of the
Peter's book was Peter's.
Self-preserving and self-serving.
Peter was self-preserving out of fear. I mean, he just denied knowing the man who was being tried.
And Judas's was?
Self-serving.
Self-serving.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching the History Station. It's not much on TV anymore. That's all I ever watch.
Good for you.
And they had a segment on the Bible. And they said there was a book of Judas. And they said that, I know, you're looking at your eyes. I was kind of surprised myself, too. But they said that it was between Jesus and Judas, and no one knew about this, and they had arranged it. And it's written in this book of Judas. And I said, but I thought I should throw it out there because I'm sure I didn't know if anybody had ever heard that before. That's what they said.
Yeah, well, who knows?
Amazing.
Who knows? All right, so there's more. Believe me, this is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in Matthew 27:4, Judas goes back to the chief priest, and I love their reaction. Does anybody remember their reaction? Do they say, oh, wow, well done, man, you're one of us? No, what do they say?
What are you doing here?
Yeah, so what is that to us? That's what they said. You know, see to it yourself. You know, they literally said, we don't care. See to it yourself. You know, go betray him. Go kill yourself. We don't care. You know.
Yeah, you're nothing to us. People are not precious.
Yeah. There was no humanity in these guys, and there was no humility in them. They had neither. And this guy's going to betray, well, you know, whatever. You know, we got to worry about what our boss is going to do if we don't get back to our post in time, so, you know, get out of here. You know, so there was not even any honor amongst unbelievers here. Mm-hmm. Judas was not even received by people that were in the dark. Yeah.
It's just interesting to me. There are two different kind of stories that are happening here, though, because the gospel story was about Jesus, you know, throwing the coins in.
Yeah.
Asking, he said, I made a mistake. And they said, what is that to us?
Yeah.
He went out and hanged himself.
Yeah.
And they took the coins and bought the field. And here we have just a different presentation.
Yeah. And you know what? There is a discrepancy in the death accounts. In one... some sections it says Judas went out and hung himself. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have that in their
book? Well, in another scripture.
Oh, in another,
The gospel talks about. Yeah.
So what, you know, and this other thing, this is the medical term for this swelling and rupturing is evisceration. In other words, your body is so filled with fluid that your skin literally rips open and I'm sorry.
Maybe jump.
Thank you, doctor.
Now it's time.
I don't know. Doctor, yeah.
He developed acute. It's called anasarca. All right, your body full of fluid. Anasarca unto evisceration. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. But how did it happen?
I know.
Was he septic?
I know. Well, yeah, you're a nurse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good question. Okay.
Don't encourage
me. All right,
it's warm over there.
Getting back, this is really big right here. Getting back to what John said, the word for repent that Judas uses is not the same word that is used in a wholehearted turning to God.
Yeah.
He uses a different word.
Yeah, but I feel sorry for Judas.
Well, I mean, and how will we understand all this on the other
Somebody
side of heaven?
Somebody had to do it, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. No, I know where you're going with that, and I struggle with that too. But it's a different word. You know, remember you hear the old saw, "I'm sorry, Well, what does that mean? Are you sorry you got caught? Or are you sorry for what you did?
Right.
Peter was sorry for what he did. And the word here that Judas uses is, I'm sorry I got caught. It's remorse for getting, yeah. And there's no relief. Yeah, it's a different word. So, all right, and the last point that I want to make here about Judas comes in Luke 22, verse 3, where it literally says, at the Last Supper, then Satan entered Judas Iscariot. Okay, so, and I just put a little line there. Under verses 18 and 19, innate depravity in character plus satanic presence equals the most ignominious betrayal in human history. All right. This was set up in a very powerful way. The character of a very arrogant, dark, brooding man, and then that wasn't enough, was it? No, it took literally Satan entering him to produce the betrayal. It is even said that when Jesus says, the one who dips his bread in with me, mm-hmm. Well, there's a little conversation that's going on. And all the disciples, you know, he's going to betray me, and all the disciples, is it I? Mm-hmm. Judas says to Jesus, is it I, Lord? And what does Jesus say?
Yes.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. is as you say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is thought that Judas didn't even eat the bread. He got up and he ran out into the night, just like Cain running from the presence of God after he killed Abel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't see that in Scripture, but somebody who... Mm-hmm. So, eat of the bread, drink of the... Yes, he didn't partake of the Last Supper. He ran into the dark and did his dark deed. Satan himself entered him to do this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is... Yeah, you really get the bumps when you think about this. So, okay, we're out of time.
I have John 13, 2.
Yeah.
And it says, so it was during supper, Satan, having already put the thought of betraying Jesus in his heart, of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. So, John 13, 2.
All right, yeah, and then Luke 22:3 is the other one where he says Judas on it. Anyway. Somebody close this, right? I'm out of gas.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all of the revelations you have shown to us today through this study. We are just blessed. We have learned so much. We thank Jeff for his work and his study and his bringing to us all of these insights. And we pray now for this time of worship and fellowship. We pray for the worship team. We pray for Pastor Michael. We pray that you would keep our eyes open, our hearts open, our minds focused on what you would have us experience and learn and be blessed by during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.